Today's reading is from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 11, and it's out of the New Living Translation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven for her husband. I heard a shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of living water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come with me. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The word of God for the people of God.
Been really good. We're winding down. This is the second to last sermon from our series on Revelation. And be honest with you, as you get into it, it's the one that automatically, before it was even prepared, when I heard we were going to do Revelation, I thought, I want Revelation 21 if it comes up. So no one else is saying I want it. So I'm like, I'll take it. But I want to start off just a general thing about Revelation in general, but I'll tie it in a little bit. But we have some pictures here. This is a specific type of a perspective optical illusion. So this looks like a very small lady sitting on a chair. But if we move to the next picture, we see that really it's all about where the camera was positioned. So you move the camera to the position and things line up. There was someone sitting on a chair that's actually much farther away. So it looks almost like a miniature person because when the angle's just right, it looks like it's in front of a tall person. A couple others. We're not going to show the before and after, but here we have someone looks like they're landing on the moon because of the way the picture was taken. Perspective can change our opinion. And one more. And here, we're in church, so I figured I'd have to throw Jesus in. But Jesus looks like he's grabbing a plane out of the sky. So perspective can change everything. So what does that have to do with Revelation? Well, I think it has to do with a lot. Because I think for many of us, depending on the perspective you have going into the book of Revelation, changes quite a bit what you might get out of it. So I think often we need to line ourselves up to get the right perspective to see what's actually being said. And today I believe that, again, you're going to see that much of the mainstream presentation of the book of Revelation just doesn't line up with what's being said in the book. And again, I'm not saying that everything we're interpreting is correct. I mean, we may not have it all 100%. But the thing is, that I believe that the presentation that we've been getting really helps us. We're looking at it from a good biblical perspective. So, and I think with that, it may surprise you today to find out what or who the new city of Jerusalem is. And we'll get into that a little bit. But first, today, I want to lay out a general idea how this imagery and what it would speak and why maybe this imagery is used with the people that were written to, the seven churches. And then I want to take a look at what it would mean to us. What does that mean to us today? But it was everything in that period of time. If you lived outside the city, you were on your own. Didn't have a place to hang out with people, you were out on your own. So with this, the new city, it's described in a way to make it sound like a super city. The city was everything. And here's a city beyond belief. First, it was huge. The walls were 216 feet thick. Now, to give you an idea, you don't even need anywhere near that to even withstand. When they make bunkers to withstand a direct nuclear strike, I think they're only going for like 50 foot thick of concrete. So I'm not trying to relate this to Armageddon or anything. So I just want to make that clear. But 216 feet thick. You want to talk about protection? That's more than you need for anything that even we in our day can conceive. 216 feet thick. It was massive. 1,500 miles square, a cube. That was 1,500 square miles. Or cubic miles. I mean, 1,400 miles this way, that way, and straight up. Now, I just want to tell you, to give you an idea how big that really is. If you were to take that city and divide it into floors, say it does have floors to it, we could have floors a mile high, a mile in between floors, and you would still have more than the surface area of the earth in this one city. That's how much space. That's how much space is there. A huge city beyond belief, beyond anything they could imagine. The fact it was beautiful, the transparent gold, I don't even know what that is, but transparent gold doors, and you know, we have the cities and all the emeralds and the jewels, and everything was just beyond belief. Again, how these huge, massive doors there were solid pearls. I mean, we're talking, this is just beyond anything I could believe. And also that it would have no corruption, no sin, no problems. It will have everything that was needed, including food. There would be no sickness. And God would be there. God would be there. Do you think this would grab the attention of the readers of that era? It spoke to what was important to them. And a lot of it still speaks importance to us, but I think to those people, those seven churches, it spoke something even more. I mean, that was their sustenance, was their cities. So now we have a little bit of a perspective of possibly why is this imagery of the new city used? It would speak massive things, but I just want to go through these passages and take care of, just look at these themes as they pop up. We're going to take them in order they show up, but we'll be jumping around Revelation with that, these couple chapters. But first, I do want to say that Revelation has its normal ebb and flow, up and downs, and often I like to preach with nice climatic ups and climatic downs, and right here, we are top of the world. So this message may be a little boom, 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 but that's just where we are in the book of Revelation. That's where we are. And I think it even relates. There's so much joy here as we're going into this. We even talked about with Advent season, this week would be the week of joy, to look at the joy of what Jesus coming created, as we can look at all this excitement and get joy from that. But are you ready? You ready for a ride? All right, so let's go. I'm going to bring something that for some of you may be a little anticlimactic. So maybe a twist, depending on how you've looked at and heard about the new city of Jerusalem presented. What is the new city? I'm sure I looked for clips, and they were all corny. But I imagine there's maybe one out there. I couldn't find it, and I was going to play a video. But I can imagine a movie maker showing this massive city coming down from the heavens, coming down and then coming in. When it hit the earth, it would just tremble. It would rumble the room with more bass than any movie has ever done before. Massive, just huge, big boom. But let's look what the scripture says. about the new city of Jerusalem. Revelation 21:5 says, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Now, right there, it does say like, but let's go on to Revelation 21:9-10. Then it says, "One of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came up and said to me, 'Come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" So who is the bride, the wife of the Lamb? Yes. The wife of the Lamb is the holy city. We are the new city of Jerusalem. The believers of God are the new city. It's very clear in the scripture, but we had all these things and people do all types of stuff. Now, maybe some of the things other people still fit in there somehow, but I'm going to tell you right now, we are the new city of Jerusalem. So what does that mean? I think at a minimum, it means that God has prepared a special place for his church. At a minimum. I mean, this is so amazing. We will be in a place that is beyond belief, beyond what we can even imagine. But I would say that some would even say that the structure is us. And let me just put some things out there, and I'm going to say these are still, even if that's not what's meaning here, everything I'm going to say is still scriptural. Is that you are as beautiful as any of that stuff. You are as beautiful to God as any of those, any of that structure, the gold, the pearls, the sapphires, the rubies, the gems. His church is more magnificent than anything else you can imagine. And also, we have the foundation of the apostles, too. And that's something else that's talked about there. They have the city has the foundation of the apostles. We together are a structure beyond all structures, the church. We are beyond all structures. Well, this may not be what is being said, but it still, again, it fits in with the rest of the Bible. So I really don't have a problem going there and saying, hey, you are beautiful. God, you are magnificent. All of you are a structure beyond all structures. No problem saying that. Now, as we move on and get into some of the rest of this, I want to point out that while these passages are talking about the future, that you will see much of these things that we have to some extent today. We see a lot of that today. B.T. Roberts, founder of the Free Methodist Church, he said, "God wants us to bring a little heaven down to every house, that all may sit together in heavenly places where we may have joy akin to that of heaven." I'll be saying more about this towards the end, but I just want to let you know that a lot of what you see here is stuff that we can tap into to some degree today. But here's one of the next exciting things as we move on in Revelation 21:3. It's God will be in this city and God will be in us. It says, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them.' I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them.'" Do you think, how many times is it stated in that little passage? Do you think something, a point's trying to be made? God is going to live with us. That is so profound. I mean, do we live with the greatest rulers in the earth? Let's go back and look at whoever your favorite pop star is, your favorite musician, your favorite preacher. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, God is so much more magnificent, and he's going to live with you. He is going to live with you. And again, to some degree, he lives with us now. Actually, to a great degree. Revelation 21:11 says that it's shown with the glory of God. The glory of God. What did? The new city. And new city is us. That's amazing. Amazing. A little offshoot, I went in, I was selling vacuum cleaners. We're going out and we ran into somebody and they said, there's a revival going on at our church. God came and did something. And as they described, this is down in Dallas, Oregon. We stayed in the town. And by the way, there's other things like this in history. This isn't the only place this same almost story has happened, same account. So we went and we heard, and I'll tell you, the Spirit of God was there. You want to talk about, that get me too off just talking about everything that was going on, but I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God was moving in that place. But they had these firemen, two firemen, come and share the testimony, because 3 days before that, they were having a service, and the neighbors called the fire department, because they said the building was on fire. The building was on fire. Anyway, the firemen come in, they come out blasting through the door, five of them, and they're instantly knocked to the ground. There is no fire. The fire is burning. You think back, there's all types of things. You can think back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire burning and all that. And these guys said that they were overwhelmed by the presence of God, and all of them immediately surrendered their lives to God. Without even hearing a gospel message, they knew that that something special was happening. And so I'm just going to tell you, when I read something about the shining with the glory of God, I think of, that's the vision I have. To hear that story, I mean, again, we're talking firsthand just a few days. This isn't like something passed on from 20 people down. This is I heard it from the two of the firemen that happened to just a few days later. Amazing. Now you got a little tangent there. But Revelation 21:22 says, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Hallelujah. That's amazing. That's amazing. God living inside of you and shining through you. Now, as we move on, again, Revelation 21:4. This is the exciting one to me. Suffering, pain, and sorrow are gone. It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, our sorrow, our crying, our pain. All these things are gone forever. How many of you have been affected by these? I have. Drug addiction, family problems, lying, theft, sexual addictions, sexual abuse. We could go on and on and on. Every one of us has been affected, probably even deeply affected by sin. Every one of us. Now, most of us learn, really, I'm just going to call them coping mechanisms, even if it is turning to the Lord to help us, but we've learned coping mechanisms to move forward and all the sin that's around us. And by the grace of God, we can make it through. But one of the things, this is to tie back to what Kelly preached last week, he was talking about judgment, is we need judgment. If we get excited about that, does that excite you? Think about living with no more sorrow, no more pain. Yes. Okay. Yes. So let's get in here. Revelation 21:7 says, nothing evil will be allowed to enter. Is that hallelujah? None of that. The drug addiction will not be allowed to enter. The sexual abuse will not be allowed to enter. The discrimination will not be allowed to enter. That's exciting. That's exciting. But nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry or dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. This whole idea of life without pain is a reality. But for it, there does need to be some judgment. There needs to be some standard to be set forth. So that's why judgment can be an exciting thing. It can be an exciting thing. And I do want to say that our hearts should be broken for those who aren't going to make it, who don't fall into this, whose names aren't being written in the book of life. But that should inspire you to pray harder, to reach out more. But right after this, we read Revelation 21, 5 through 6. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Write it down. Importance. What is important? He says, "It is finished. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is finished. It's done. Final. No more sin. No more sorrowing." Again, we just have this really laid out very clearly that God is saying no more. And just repeating the same words that Jesus said on the cross. What Jesus did on the cross, it is finished. We now have a place where we can go and have no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain. All those things, whatever came to your mind as we were talking through them, they will be no more. It will be no more. Last thing I want to discuss, it's related to an earlier point, but I think it relates to how we can apply this to our lives. But verse 6 says, "To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." So if we are victorious, we get to inherit these blessings. Remember back to the seven churches? It kept saying, if you are victorious, or there's other words that were used. Well, in the Greek, this is the same word being used. If you are victorious, if you persevere, if you do these things, these are the blessings you'll have. Here we have the same word happening again. If you are victorious, we'll inherit these blessings. I want to tie this in to here we have, says that there'll be the springs of the water of life. I believe Revelation 22, 1 and 2 talks about this also. It says, "Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street." And I really want to tie this in to those of you who want to look into it, if you're not familiar, Ezekiel 47. I really think that this is a direct tie-in. Again, I think a lot of this language, even the stuff that we see that in it is finished, and we see this language, it's keying us into things that spark something in us believers. It sparks something to say it is finished. It means something to us. And I believe that this river means something to these people. In Ezekiel 47, it's talking about a vision, a prophecy about the temple and water coming out of the temple. And this water goes down and it ends up creating crops that grow everywhere along it. And it goes into the Dead Sea, turns the Dead Sea into water that can be used again. But the thing is, then there's the challenge to go into the water. And the water, it keeps getting deeper and deeper. And eventually, keep going deeper and deeper. But here's the thing I want to just tell you is that in what God has for you, I put myself in this boat too. But I think God has so much more for us. And all that we're doing is going, "Oh yeah, Lord, oh, I'm blessed. We got our foot cooled off in the water." And then, you know, maybe every once in a while we go in for a little bit more. But whatever it is, sin, all types of things, fears, because going into something like that, fully surrendering to God can be often fearful. I have to change. I have to do things. But I want to challenge you today. Make those steps. Keep going forward. Keep going farther in the river of God. We can see that this is something amazing. There are amazing things that God has for us. Amazing things. Again, this relates to how does it apply today. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is what Jesus told us to pray. So while all this may not come today, right now, we may not always, I can't give you, I was mentioning in our prayer time that I wish I had the magic formula so that we could always have the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. But I know that Jesus has called us to pray for it. And I know that sometimes we see it. So are you willing to go deeper into the water? Are you willing to see the kingdom of God come in your life? come in our community, come in our nation. I think we desperately need it in all of those. Are you willing to ask God to do more than you could ever ask or imagine? Are you? All right. Again, I wish I could explain it to you how it happens. But we see this throughout the history of the church. There's a little bit of theology out there that tries to say, oh, that stuff, things like this don't happen anymore. But I'm going to tell you, you can't find it disappearing from the church. Even among the people who say it doesn't exist, it still seems to happen sometimes. So throughout history, we see healings, miracles, moves of God. Revival is one that's amazing to me because before the day of the phone, and I think this was in the Northeast, but I think it was in upstate New York. But anyway, there was a group of people that go and a few people went. They felt called to go and they started a service. And guess what? Like a week later, there were like 5,000 people there in a town that only had like 200-300 people in it. But the thing is, these people had to have started traveling before. They lived so far away. People were just saying, I felt I was in prayer and I felt I needed to come. Some people who didn't even know God were saying, I had a dream, told me to go to this town. And they'd started the journey days before, even the people that only traveled a couple of days. Tell you what, there are amazing miracles and moves of God. Amen. I could go on and on and on, and I'm not going to, because I want to jump, put it a little more to today and things. So first of all, he talks about it not in a boastful way at all, but one of our former bishops, I may have the exact number down, but he talks about a six-month period, I think, in his life where he prayed for 13 people throughout the world that had cancer, and they were healed. And if you knew the story, I'm not going to tell you the whole story why he shares it. You'd see it's not him bragging. It's really about a personal struggle he was going through. But that's one of our bishops. But does that mean it's not us? How about our context here? What about right here? Now, are we seeing that heaven coming and meeting earth every day here? Not in a way that I'm sure it's happening, but not in a way that we always tangibly see it. But I'll tell you what has happened. We have had Kelly, I, and Anthony Johnson prayed for a lady right over here. I'll never forget the day. And her hearing was gone in one ear, totally gone. Doctor says it's not coming back. Had been gone for months. And we prayed for her. And her hearing came back. We've prayed for people with chronic asthma, gone and never come back. We've prayed for, just recently we prayed for somebody who was having hip pain, and they said, no, the Lord touched me. Yeah, we've had people with cancer that have had healings in certain ways. So I just want to tell you it happened. We've had things of provision where people have been provided vehicles from strangers, where there's been money when that's happened before, given on like the exact same dollar amount that's needed. We've had people who need housing that it just pops up miraculously. People get into housing that there was year-long waiting lists. And all of a sudden they go, oh, we have housing for you. We've had people here who are being delivered from sexual addiction, drug addictions. Several people set free. People set free from mental health issues has happened here. Now, my prayer is that we could be a place where we're outpouring that every day. Wouldn't that be amazing? So let's do what Jesus did. Let's pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. God wants us, the quote again from B.T. Roberts, God wants us, wants to bring a little heaven down to every house, that all may sit together in heavenly places, or we may have joy akin to that of heaven. Just as I close here. So what do we do with this information? What do we do with it? Yeah, amen. Keep it going. Well, we have hope. We should have a hope that no matter what we go through today, if we remain faithful, there is something better. Whatever it is. And I know most of you well enough to know that I don't know if there's a single person in this room that doesn't have their heart breaking over some effect of sin, either in their lives or someone that they're very close to. If we remain faithful, there's something better. That pain, that sorrow can go away. Do you have that hope? Well, if you're not sure and you've never made a decision to Christ, we would love to walk you through that. We would love to walk you through to a place where you would be able to cry out and say to God and say, Abba, Father, to call Him your Father, to know that you're a child of God. We would love to have walk you through that. And if you'd want to do that today, we'll be up here. There's people up here. We can pray with you. You can catch one of us after service. We would love to pray with you and talk with you about that. And today, as we come forward and we receive communion, I'd ask that you take time to consider, do you have the joy that you should, knowing what the future holds? Do you have it? So as we come forward, as we start worship, we come forward and we have the body and blood of Christ that was given so that we could have this new city, this place for us, so that we could even partake of some of that today. Are you walking in the joy you should have? Lord, I just pray for everyone right now. Just pray for your Spirit to move, to speak. Lord, all my words are really nothing without your Spirit. So I just pray, Lord, whatever's happened or not happened here, Lord, that you just come. You just come and speak to people's lives right now.